Wow, this is a great day. Amen? Yes, amen. That's great. Praise the Lord. Exciting to be together, to come together as a church family, have the early service, second service. And thank you for your cooperation, for being attentive to the time and making sure that you are here at the appropriate time. And what an exciting opportunity to see another baptized. Amen? That is a time of rejoicing. And we had a couple baptisms last week. We had Stephen this week. And it is just an exciting time to see God bless in those ways and in those individuals' lives. You know, we all love a story, don't we? You know, you start out and you hear, it was a dark and stormy night. Or maybe it was once upon a time. Or it might just be, hey, you know, the other day I was on my way to the office and stopped off at Starbucks. And I started talking to this guy and he was telling me, and you kind of wonder, where's the story going? What's going to happen? It just kind of draws you in, doesn't it? Storytelling is an art. And Jesus was the master storyteller. He told parables to capture the attention of the listener so as to teach spiritual truth. And as we continue our study through the book of Matthew, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. The next section of this chapter 13, Jesus presents three parables. Now, we see the parable of weeds, or the wheat and weeds. We see the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of leaven. Now remember, a parable is a true-to-life story. It isn't something that just necessarily just happened, but it's something that happens in life and to which we can all relate. It teaches an overarching spiritual truth, and you must be careful not to give significance to every detail in the parable, every element of the parable. It's a story designed to teach a point. And Jesus starts in this passage with the parable of the wheat and weeds. Look at verses 24 to 30. Speaking of Jesus, he put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to them, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So you can see as Jesus was telling this, relating this, I think he had some emotion and had some provided some interest into what was happening. But the fickle crowd, which included the Pharisees, teachers of the law, were probably thinking, "What is this all about? What's he talking about? Was Jesus espousing agricultural principles and trying to relate them to the kingdom or what?" And the disciples were probably thinking something, "So where's he going with that?" Well, the disciples would find out shortly. But be assured, Jesus was making a point. It would just be hidden from the fickle crowd because they had previously rejected the teachings of Jesus. And he would explain this to the disciples again in just a moment. But before Jesus explained the parable's overarching spiritual truth, this parable's overarching spiritual truth, I believe he wanted to make another clarification through a couple other parables. So let's take a look at those. The first one is the parable of the mustard seed, verse 31 and 32. He put another parable before them saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants. It becomes a tree so that birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. So he likens here the kingdom of heaven to a grain of mustard seed. It begins as a small seed. Take a look at this. It's just a tiny seed at the tip of your finger. But then once it's planted and it starts to grow and it flourishes, it becomes a tree. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? And that's what Jesus is illustrating here. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like that. And I believe it can indicate that initially it may seem, the kingdom of heaven may seem insignificant. As Jesus began his ministry, starting about the kingdom, started small, you know, what's this all about? You had John the Baptist said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus was saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you had John the Baptist, you had Jesus, and then you had his group of 12, you know, and they're like, wow, you know, it's small, but we'll see what happens. But they hadn't read Acts 2 yet. It hadn't been written, right? And it's just in Acts 2, we just read a little bit ago, 3,000 people came to Jesus. Wow. It started small and it began to expand. That's the nature of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying there is plenty of room in the kingdom. You have that in your notes. There's plenty of room in the kingdom. Now, it's qualified here. There is plenty of room in the kingdom for those who believe. You have to enter the kingdom on His terms. He's not talking about a universalism where, hey, and there are some, believe this, there are some quote-unquote churches, they're not true churches, but they teach, you know what, we just need to get the message out there that everybody's going to heaven. And that's their message. That's not the case. You have to come to God on His terms. There's plenty of room in the kingdom, but you have to enter on His terms. By salvation, by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The next parable of the leaven, teaches the same principle. Verse 33. Then he told another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. You could see this. Those of you who have baked bread, that you put a little leaven in it and it grows, it expands. And in this case, leaven is not used to symbolize sin, as it often is in the Scripture, but just to simply illustrate the fact that it works its way through the whole lump of dough. He's saying the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It grows. It gets out there. The kingdom of heaven starts small and it works its way throughout culture and then ultimately the whole world. That's what Jesus is saying. Interestingly, as you think about this point here, God uses you and me, people, as instruments to accomplish that work. As His Holy Spirit works through us to enable us to build the kingdom. It's His kingdom. He's the one who builds the church. We're just simply instruments in His hands. We are to, by God's transforming power, have an impact on our culture for Christ. It starts small, but we see it expand. It's exciting to have all of you here this morning. We have the two services, and generally in the two services, the front section's full. But you know, to come together and say, "Wow, look at our church family! Isn't that exciting? Wow." Yeah, it may start small, but it expands, it grows, and there's plenty of room here for everyone. And so we do that through our work, through our family relationships, our work, our friends, our neighbors, co-workers, classmates, relatives. As we carry that message, it grows. Here are a couple points of application based on these two parables. Parable of the mustard seed, parable 11. There's plenty of room in the kingdom. The kingdom expands, it grows. The first one is come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, as I said, you come to Jesus on His terms. Through confession of your sin. I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sin, and I come to you, O God, in salvation through Jesus Christ. I believe He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, and I ask you to be my Savior. Come to Jesus. I can't help but think that in a crowd this size, that there are some, not just one, but some who have never truly trusted Christ. And maybe you're here this morning, you're searching, you're wondering, what's it all about? Or maybe you were invited by a friend. You say, man, what's it all about? What, I see a full parking lot. We've had people just drive by and say, hey, we're going to stop and go to church there. That may be you. And so, again, the invitation is come to Jesus. If you're searching, come to Him. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room. The other challenge here, based on this, is invite others. It's an ever-growing, expanding kingdom of God. So as believers, and many of you, most of you, have trusted Christ, you know what this is all about. Come to Jesus. You've come to Jesus and invite others. Evangelize. Tell others about the hope that's in you. I mean, this is the greatest thing ever. You have eternal life. Don't you want other people to have that too? You know? If you had a bank account of $1 billion and you could just keep giving it away and it would never diminish, wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you want everybody to have that? That's kind of like what we have here. I want everybody to know of this salvation because when you give it away, it doesn't diminish what you have. Invite others. And both of these parables should give hope to you and me as we venture out into this world that we do so without apology. We have the greatest gift of all and we want to share it. The harvest is plentiful. You know, if we would just understand that there are people all around us who are ripe unto the harvest. Jesus says, open your eyes. Open your eyes. The harvest is plentiful. The fields are white unto harvest. They're ready to be harvested all around us. And in doing that, you don't have to cram the gospel down people's throats because you can't save them. Salvation is a work of God. And you've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. I love James McDonald's illustration of red apple evangelism. When people are ripe, it's because of God's work in their souls. And usually it's when they're hurting. And you have someone struggling, someone's hurting, someone's searching. Say, hey, I want to introduce you to Jesus. You don't have to force it. You may have to answer some questions or say, hey, I don't know the answer to that right now, but I do know someone who does, and that's Jesus. And so you invite others, and you encourage them that there's plenty of room. And of course, as we think about that, that's why we exist as a church, right? That's why we exist as a ministry. Each one of us are to make disciples. That's our responsibility as a church. That's our responsibility as a church member, to make disciples. Stephen got baptized this morning. Again, amen? Now, he didn't do that to join a country club. You know, it wasn't like, we got the secret handshake now. You know, got the secret password. You know, I gave that to him in the room back here after we dried off. No. He became a part of our fellowship here as we gather together to be a part of an expanding family of God here at FBC and beyond. And that's why we have ministries here within the church of within FBC. I think of our life groups. I think of our worship service. I think of our life groups. I think of all of our Bible studies, our children's ministries, our music ministry, our AV, our greeters, our ushers, our secretaries, custodians, ministry teams, hospitality. We're going to enjoy that here in just a little bit. Amen. Ladies' ministries. Food pantry. We have all of those kinds of things. And if I've missed your ministry, it wasn't intentional. It's just, I just want you to see that there's a lot going on within the church, but it's all for the purpose of making disciples. We're not a country club. All right? We're not just getting here so that we can glad hand each other and, you know, hey, good to see you this week, you know, and then forget about each other the rest of the week. We're involved in one another's lives, caring for one another. And we're a church family. That's why it's so cool to get together a few times a year to say, wow, look at what we have as a church family. And we rejoice in that. What a blessing. But that's why we have ministry, so that others can see that and we can make disciples. We encourage one another, but then we spur one another on to love and good deeds so that others can come in. This is why we have been involved in ministries beyond FBC and are still involved in many of these. We have Truth Seekers down at Lincoln Community Center. We have the Community Garden down there. We've gotten involved with that. Community Men's Prayer Breakfast at the Lincoln Community Center. Hope Over Heroin, Marriage Prayer Breakfast. We have missions to Brazil, China, Thailand, Kosovo, Ethiopia, Africa, South Korea, Russia, and the Stan countries. You know, Afghanistan and Uzbekistan. Don't you like it when Wally Kulikov says Uzbekistan? You have all the Stan countries where Wally and Natasha have ministered. All of these things with a view to make disciples. Absolutely. To make disciples of all nations. And of course, that's why we give. That's why we give, so as to fulfill our ministry here through FBC and beyond. And I encourage you to give faithfully, generously, so that we're able to fulfill the ministry that we believe that God has called us to fulfill. So, there's plenty of room in the kingdom for those who would trust Him for their eternal salvation. So let's be faithful instruments in God's hands to accomplish the work He desires of us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. To make disciples. Well, then Jesus takes time to explain the parable of the wheat and the weeds, so as to clarify the matter further. But Jesus, knowing the spiritual truth emphasized in this parable, which he later explained, he clarifies truth by telling the parable of the mustard seed, parable 11, which explained there's plenty of room in the kingdom. But there are those who were present who already rejected Jesus and his message of the kingdom of heaven. So he clarifies, verse 34, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables, verse 34, indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. He was pointing out that there would be many who would not understand the spiritual truths emphasized in his teaching when he taught using parables. And we touched on this last week when we discussed the parable of the soils, and Jesus explained why there would be those who would not understand back in verses 11 to 15. Because they had rejected Him. They had rejected His message. They had attributed His works and His message to Satan. And so Jesus wasn't going to cast pearls before swine. He wasn't going to, in our vernacular, waste his breath on people who are just going to scowl at his teaching. Verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. Evidently the other two were understandable. You know, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. But he said, explain to us the parable of weeds in the field. And he answered, verse 37, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus believed in a literal tormenting hell. Verse 43, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Don't let this get away from you. And so the spiritual truth emphasized in this passage is that, here's our take-home thought today. Spiritual truth emphasized here is that God's kingdom is exclusive. Yes, and he told that in that first parable right out of the gate. But then he says, now wait a minute. It starts small, just like a mustard seed, and then it grows. There's plenty of room for people, just like a little bit of leaven gets into the dough and then it grows. There's plenty of room, but I want you to know that the kingdom of God is exclusive. You can't sneak your way in. You can't come to Him on your own terms. You are either in or you're not. You are either wheat or weeds. And sometimes weeds just tries to blend in and to get in on somebody else's coattails. Can't do it. That's what Jesus is saying. And so this parable should be a point of confirmation or conviction. First of all, confirmation. This parable should be a matter of confirmation for many of you. For His disciples, I believe it was confirmation, indicating that without a doubt, you are a child of God and a member of His kingdom. There is assurance available for those who believe. God says, these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is one of those passages that can help you with that. Say, yes, thank you, God. I have trusted Christ as my Savior, and because of that, I have the assurance of my salvation, and now I can grow in my salvation and serve God out of a grateful heart, but serve Him because I love Him and have experienced His grace. And so as Jesus shared this parable and as we're talking about it here today, I trust that for many of you this is a matter of confirmation. Where you can say, God, thank you for my salvation. And as a result of that, man, I want to tell other people, just like we've been talking. Man, I want everybody to know this. It should be a point of humble, grateful praise, and then cause you to desire others to come to salvation as well. Don't minimize your impact. You're a part of that leaven working itself through the whole dough. You're one of those mustard seeds that plants and can grow. You know, to see the kingdom expanding there. So don't minimize the impact that you can have on your culture around you. Keep your eyes open. And I'll tell you, how exciting it is to have these baptisms. We have several joining the church with us here today. I'm so excited about that. I should have counted the number. We have 8 or 10 joining today, and we have others that want to give the right hand of fellowship that have joined since the first of the year. It's exciting to see that. And you can be a part of that as you reach out and you tell others as well. But here, the kingdom of God's kingdom is exclusive, but that should give confirmation, but it should also convict. There's also conviction. And the encouragement here is that if everyone here should examine your heart to make your calling and election sure. Many of you, it takes but a moment and say, of course, I know Christ as Savior. And my desire is to live for the Lord and see His kingdom grow. And you've seen the blessings in your life, and you have that confirmation. But there may be some here, again, who you need to examine, as you examine your heart, to see whether you're a wheat or a weed. And if you're uncertain here this morning, today is the opportunity for you to confess, to repent, acknowledge Jesus as Savior, become a child of God, gain the assurance of entering into His kingdom. And you know, just one other warning, it's not in this passage, it's in Revelation. He talks to the church at Laodicea, he says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. There are those who, I think there are those who think they're wheat and they're really a weed. The examination is appropriate. Are you a wheat or a weed? Here's the opportunity to settle that. And to gain that assurance to come to God in salvation through Jesus Christ so that you can go from here saying, yes, I am a child of God and I'm a part of that ever-expanding kingdom of God, and rejoice. This will be the greatest day you've ever had if you come to Jesus today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the power of Jesus as He tells us these parables, and with such meaning, and may they enter into our hearts to strengthen us, to encourage us, to cause us to examine our hearts as to whether we're a wheat or a weed, to gain confirmation or conviction. Work as only You can, I pray.